Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
Now this morning we're going to continue the series. I began a series last week called Greater Things. Let me hear you say Greater Things. And it's important for us to understand what Greater Things means whenever we begin to talk about salvation, when we begin to talk about healing, when we begin to talk about deliverance, when we begin to talk about revival and awakening. A lot of times these things can become like buzzwords to us. We can talk Christianese because we know how to speak a language, but if we don't understand the greater meaning within them, we'll never step into what God has for us. And so we've been talking about for a long time now about revival and awakening, that we are in a season. It's a Kairos moment. Kairos is a specific time and place where God decides to do something, where he is bringing the greatest revival and awakening the earth has ever seen. And it's going to be greater than Pentecost. Why is it going to be greater than Pentecost? Because there's more people on the planet, right? We're talking about at least 5 to 6 billion people who are not yet born again. There's a whole lot of people who need to know Jesus. And it's going to require a powerful church, not a powerless church. It's going to require a bold church, not a meek church. Not somebody that's like, oh, the devil's so big. Look what he did. Like, no. It's like, step up. Lord, you hear their threats, but stretch out your hand. We're ready now to have the Lord stretch out his hand into us and through us. And so next week we're going to have, next week is Easter, which is crazy that Easter's right. Hey, I'm ahead of the game, aren't I? No, next week is Palm Sunday, so we're going to have a time of healing, prophetic ministry, and then we're going to be in Easter. So the week after Easter, the 11th, I'm going to pick back up on this series and continue to talk specifically about faith. But today we're going to talk about healing, and I want to lay for you a foundation for biblical healing, okay? So with that being said, invite people to come to Easter with you. All right, if we pack the place out, we've moved beyond worrying about distancing. It's time for us to get close to the Lord and bring people to him. Amen? Okay, so come ready. We'll add more chairs, but just bring people to Easter in 2 weeks, not next week. Hey, it'd be okay if you brought people next week and they thought it was Easter and they met Jesus. Would that be a bad thing? I remember telling our team years ago, every week should be Easter to us. Like we, a lot of times what we did is, here's what we made Easter. We made it the Super Bowl of Christianity. And Jesus is going, so once a year? He's like, how about every single day is Easter? How about every single day is Resurrection Day? How about every single day you bring the resurrection life of Jesus? So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through and lay a foundation for healing. Healing and miracles are not primarily to confirm the message of Jesus, but they are to be an expression of the message. They're to be part of the message. I've heard people say this, is that the signs and the miracles and wonders were only to confirm the words he was saying. That is true, but not only that, they are the message itself. They're the fullest expression. I heard somebody tell me one time saying, hey, once the Bible was put together, miracles weren't needed anymore. And I'm going like, well, did you read it? He says, this will continue until he comes back. Jesus does not change. He's established something. And he's looking for us to step into what God has. So healing and miracles, they're not something for us to get the Christian, goosebumps. Like, ooh, Holy Spirit mood. Ooh. Like, it's not an entertainment thing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, it's highly entertaining. Can we all be, right? When the Holy Spirit comes in and joy comes in and it's exciting and it feels good and the Lord begins to build us up and miracles are happening, I'm telling you, it's amazing when you watch metal disappear from somebody's body. It's amazing when you watch a tumor shrink in their body. I'm telling you, it's amazing when you watch broken bones go into place. It's amazing when you see a blind eye. I'm telling you all things that I've seen. Okay, so I can testify not just what's in here. I can testify what I've seen with my own eyes. Okay, it's amazing when a blind eye, somebody who's born blind, all of a sudden they looks at you for the first time ever. It's amazing when a deaf ear all of a sudden opens up. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the game changer. Jesus wants us to establish on the earth as it is in heaven onto the earth. And that means everything that is in heaven comes with him, and that includes healing. What is not in heaven? Hurt, brokenness, disease, right? That does not exist there. It exists here on the planet. Why? Because whenever Adam and Eve sinned, whenever they made that choice, that fateful choice, to replace the life of God for the knowledge about God, or the knowledge about good and evil, whenever they did that, it separated them from the only thing that ever made them alive, and what was the result? Death. Now, because they were born, or they were created perfectly, it took 1,000 years for Adam and Eve to die. It took a long time. Disease yet not had not been in their bodies, and it took a while for what God had created perfectly to break down. Now we live in the age that we do, and I get it that through medicine and things like that, nutrition, we actually live a little bit longer. I think the average age life expectancy is somewhere like 78 years old, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around that time frame. So it's actually pretty good in our generation. But it wasn't what God intended. Now, when we talk about healing, it's important for us to all understand this. We are all terminal. Well, I got terminal cancer. That just means you're dying quicker. But we're all terminal. We all at one point, these bodies are going to go. Right? That's why our hope is not in a physical realm. It's in his eternal life. So what are we bringing when we pray for the sick? Aren't we delaying the inevitable? No, we're actually bringing the good things that God has stored so we can experience a full and abundant life. What does it say in Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you what? A hope and a future. Hope for the now and a future glory that you continue to move towards. So when we're praying for the sick, we're actually bringing, saying this was never God's plan. It was never his intention for disease to be rampant. It wasn't. So what are we bringing? As it is in heaven, here onto the earth, and we need to understand it's important for us to understand what is God's original intent, his design. Be made in his image. Is God ever sick? Was Jesus ever sick? He got tired. Because he was subject to everything we're subject to. So I'm just telling you, I don't know. I never saw in Scripture where Jesus got sick. But what I am telling you is this. He was 100% God, 100% man. Which means if he was tempted in every way that we're tempted, he's subject to everything we're subject. The Son of Man had to fully experience what you and I experienced. Which is why he got tired, which is why he got weary. And maybe he had allergies. I don't know. Okay? But what are we pressing into? We're not inheriting the Jesus that was born through Mary. We're inheriting the Jesus that walked out of the grave. Amen. Why? Because he killed death. Get your mind wrapped around that. He removed the consequences from death. He removed the sting from death whenever he was killed and whenever he went to hell for 3 days, grabs the keys to life and the kingdom and everything else and said, devil, what Adam dropped on the ground, I'm taking those back up so that through me I can pass on the keys to the kingdom to all the sons and daughters that would be made in my image who would be born again to rule and reign on the earth forever and ever and ever. Sounds like a victory dance to me. So sickness does come, but we have to understand God's original intent was never for sickness to have a place in humanity. He just understood the choice that Adam would make. So before Adam had a problem, he had a solution. Scripture says, before the foundation of the earth, the lamb was slain. Amen. Jesus already decided to take care of it for us. So what are we doing? We're only extending the victory of Christ. Exodus 15:26 says this. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. The Hebrew word is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. Notice this is Old Testament. Notice that we're not yet talking about the cross. But in a sin nature and environment, God says, who I am is enough. Anytime there's illness or disease, why can't we heal the sick? Because he is the healer. He is our wholeness. We step into a right relationship with him. If it worked that great in the old covenant, can you imagine what happens in this new covenant that we have with Christ? That we're made in his image. I am the Lord who heals you. Names carry great meaning. It usually reveals the character, the purpose, the activity. As a creator of all, he is also healer of all. And the early church emphasized this, Christus Victor. Say it with me, Christus Victor. What does that mean? Jesus Christ is our victory. Jesus is the victor. So what did the early church... I'm not just talking about the 12 disciples who were walking around with Jesus. I'm talking about the early church. Jesus has gone to heaven, ascended to heaven, and the gospel began to spread, and thousands were added to their number every day. What was the emphasis of the early church? Jesus is the victory. Somewhere, and I don't know, I could tell you, I could point at places in history, but I'm not going to dive into a history lesson. I'm going to say at some point in the history of the church, it turns from Jesus is the victory to the devil is really bad, and we got to pray that he comes and rescues us from this crappy world. Yes, I use that word. Because that's how we treat this thing. Like, oh, this world is so bad. Oh, did you see what the Antichrist is doing now? Oh, do you see what the government's doing now? Oh, do you see what this is doing? Oh, my God, we're all going to die. And we share the gospel of Jesus saying, hey, come join us. We're all scared to death, but one day we hope he comes and rescues us from the beast that's going to eat us. Is that in here? No, it's not. But why did it become a part of the psyche of the church? Because we lost sight of the victory of Christ. That he won complete and full victory. The early church, why did the early church see miracles and signs and wonders as a normal part of their everyday life? Because they believed that Jesus had all victory. And that they inherited what he walked in. So why don't we see it today? There's different reasons we'll touch onto it, but I believe it's because we've lost sight of the victory of Jesus. Early church emphasized Christus Victor, Jesus Christ as victor over sickness, disease, and demons. In the present, we have power and victory over disease, the devil, and damnation. And healing continues today. Let me just read a bunch of scriptures for you. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. In other words, the Lord chooses signs, miracles, and wonders to bear witness to the victory that he has for every born-again believer. Now, we're going to talk about what happens when you pray for somebody they don't get well. What happens when you've gone through an extended illness? We'll touch on that in a little bit. But my point is this. My experience does not set the baseline for who the Lord is. He sets it. My experiences are called to come into alignment with who he is. He's not supposed to come into alignment with my experiences. But because he gives us free choice, he allows us to be able to get into a place of a pity party and goes, that's not what I have for you, but I'm not going to beat you over the head and make you believe. Amen. It's here for you. It's an invitation. Just believe. Just believe. It's an invitation to you. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on what? Better promises. The promises of the new covenant are better than the old covenant. Why? The old covenant was conditional on humanity being able to save itself. And guess what? It never happened. It could never happen. The old covenant was to reveal to humanity the inability for humanity to save itself. The inability for you to be good enough or righteous enough. It was opening this up. But the covenant we have now is what Jesus has done for us, and we step into alignment with what that is. Jeremiah 32, 19 and 20. You have all wisdom, and you do great and mighty miracles. You see the conduct of all people, and you give them what they deserve. You perform miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, things still remembered to this day. And you've continued to do great miracles in Israel and all around the world. You have made your name famous to this day. What's the point of miracles and signs and wonders? To make his name famous. You're not saved for you, you're saved for him. He loves you and you benefit from being saved. You benefit from being born again. You benefit, can we all agree? If you have an illness and you get healed from it, you benefit from it. Can we all agree that? But the greatest part of that is that God's name gets the glory. It's to be an expansion of his kingdom everywhere. So Jesus paid it all. And it's time for us to access our inheritance. John 19:30, when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and he released his spirit. So what did Jesus pay for? Everything. But what does everything include? It's can we all agree, it does include you being able to spend eternity. You get eternal life. You get to live forever with him. That's true. But what we've made it is, pray this prayer, and you're going to have to suffer in this world for a while, and either you're going to die or he's going to come back and rescue you, and he's going to take you to heaven, and that's the ultimate goal. And that misses the gospel. What was Jesus saying? I want to transform you. Yeah. I read it to you last week in John chapter, 17. He says, "Father, I don't ask that you take them out of the world." Why? Because this world needs saving. And through them and me, the world will be saved. So we need to understand what the Lord is doing. What did Jesus pay for? In that is the forgiveness of sins, being born again, yes. But also, it's not just the forgiveness of your sins, but it's also removing the consequences of sin. Why do people get sick? It's a consequence of not being attached to the Lord. Let me give you this real quick. Adam and Eve, created in a garden, eating of this tree of life. What was happening? They were directly connected to the very source of life. What happened when they eat that fruit? Their connection to them was disconnected, and they tried to connect into data. It'd be like me taking a USB drive, going to my laptop that doesn't have power, and trying to power my laptop with my USB drive. It doesn't work, does it? Why? Because information is not life. A person is life, connected to him. So the moment they disconnected from life, decay began to happen. So what did Jesus pay for? If you were born again, you were reconnected to the source of life, the Holy Spirit. And not only that, it wasn't dependent upon you plugging yourself into him. Here's what the Holy Spirit did. He comes in and through you. Now he's inside of you. He listened. He connected himself to you. It says, never again. You choose me, I'm choosing you, and I'm going to connect my life source to you once again. Where there is no more tears, there is no more disease. That's coming. But in this present life, we have to extend what he paid for. So Jesus paid for your healing. He paid for everything on the cross. In the atoning death of Jesus, he paid for the consequences of sin, which includes illness, disease, and death. So let's talk about physical healing. Let me give you a biblical foundation for healing. There's so many scriptures, but I'm only going to give you a few. Psalm chapter 103, verse 1 through 5. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. Look what it says in the New King James Version. It says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let me hear you say benefits. What is those benefits? Verse 3, he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Now, if you're born again, say I am. So it's really easy to grab a hold of, he forgives me of my sins. We cannot disconnect, he forgives me from my sins, from he heals my diseases. The reason there's illness and disease that's rampant in the world is because the church forgot this. We preach the gospel of salvation absent from the release of freedom to those who are hurt and bound up. We preach the gospel without signs, miracles, and wonders, and guess what? You get a powerless church. You get people who get into the kingdom, but they never advance, and then they think it's normative for Christians to be sick on an ongoing basis. Now, do we have to steward our bodies? Of course. I went to my doctor on Wednesday. My doctor had a conversation with me. It's time for me to make some different life choices for my health. That's what I can do. But what I'm telling you is, it's not God's plan A. Do you hear what I'm saying? We steward what he gives us, and part of the way we steward what he gives us is we step into the healing ministry that he has for us. He forgives all my sins, and he heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death, and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. We think that's like just poetic language. What if the older we get, the younger we felt? We went to stir up some faith in the room here. Don't let your experience dictate to you what the scriptures say. Let the scriptures dictate to you what your experience is supposed to look like. We still have the ability to be stupid. Can we be real here? Which means we can take what he intends for us and it will be less than what we walk in, because of the choices that we make. So we still need to choose health, but my point is this. What if my youth was renewed like the eagles? What does an eagle do? Does it flap its wings once it gets up there? No, it just locks in on the thermals of the what the Lord's doing in the atmosphere. Look at this, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 through 5. This is one of the most profound messianic prophecies that Jesus himself and the apostles talked about. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. Let me hear you say griefs. When you look at the Hebrew, it's most often translated as sicknesses. He has carried our sorrows. Let me hear you say in sorrows. That word specifically is most often translated as infirmities. Okay? For those in the military, you had to go to a doctor. They use that type of language, right? Infirmities. What we're talking about is he took that on himself. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Somebody once told me, he says, well, that means that you get to heaven. All your sins are forgiven. That is true. What's the consequence of sin? Disease, illness, broken heart, broken relationships. Like you can put us a broken world. That's the consequence of sin. But if by his stripes, every time he was whipped, that was specifically, he's got a name of something that's come against you. Can you imagine that? And Jesus is going, that one's for them, and that one's for them, and that one's for them. Do you understand? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And when we make this less than what Jesus paid for, we're spitting in his face. What did he pay for? He thinks he paid for all disease and illness. He thinks he paid for all sin. I'm going to go with Jesus, not my experience. Not some theologian who's never experienced him outside of a book. Not some atheist who doesn't know the love of God. I'm going to look to the love of what Jesus has for me and let that dictate to me. He's borne our griefs. He's borne our sicknesses. He carried our sorrows and our infirmities. He was wounded for our transgressions. Have you ever been wounded by somebody? Have you ever been wounded by life? Jesus carried, he was wounded for you. He was bruised for your iniquities. What's iniquities? Iniquity is not a single sin. It's an inward bent. It's a lifestyle of sin. It's a generational thing. Maybe you inherited. I just know I'm a German, mostly German, and I could drink most people underneath the table. Guess what I inherited iniquity-wise from my family, generations? The ability to step into addiction. It's an iniquity. It's an inward bent. I was good at it, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? But the moment I met Christ, that iniquity was actually met by his blood. And now guess what I carry? His tendencies. Because the old man's dead, a new one is here. That dude died So I don't care if it's sexual stuff, if it's drugs, money, if it's wanting to be pleased, if it's being a people pleaser. I don't care if it's sorrows that you've gone through. I do care. Let me say this. But all those things were taken care of on the cross. Let me read this. The Hebrew word for this, again, means sicknesses. It shows up 24 times in the Old Testament. And 20 of those times, it's translated as sicknesses, this word grief. So if you came from a church tradition that said God doesn't still heal today, you might have heard this. Well, he's borne our griefs. That means he knows how bad it feels to be in sin. And that is true. But that's not what the Hebrew says. He has borne our sicknesses. 20 of the 24 times in the Old Testament, that word is used. It's translated sicknesses. So what did Jesus bear that you're still bearing? What are people out there bearing that Jesus bore, waiting for us to come and remove it? Matthew chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all. Let me say all. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying this: he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. People came to Christ because of Isaiah's prophecy. This is what we're called when we're bringing out. What are we doing? Saying, hey, I can do something about that because the one who lives in me bore that already. So even if you don't know Jesus, I know him. And the blood that runs through my veins is sufficient to be able to bring healing to the infirmity that the person's walking in, even if they're not born again. It actually aids evangelism. The other way it brought healing is emotional healing. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's quoting Isaiah, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, Ben hit on this when he was here. What you'll notice is what Jesus lives out of the Isaiah prophecy is this, and to declare the day of judgment. When Jesus came, he wasn't declaring judgment on people. He was declaring judgment on sin, death, and the devil. That's what he was declaring judgment on. So what happens? When Jesus comes back, and he is coming back, and he's coming back once. Let's just put that out there. He's coming back victorious, and he's coming back one time to establish his kingdom. And when he does, there's going to be a great throne judgment. And what happens? Everyone will be judged for the decision they made. That's the moment he judges it finally for all of eternity. We have not been given the ministry of judgment, but of reconciliation. How do we do this? We walk in the same thing that he did, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That means all the way up to somebody, the point that somebody dies or he comes back, it will always be the acceptable year of the Lord for them to receive him. They can still reject him, but that open door for them to receive him. But once he comes back, that door's closed. But I'm not responsible for that. You're not responsible for that. I'm responsible for the open door. Making sure, hey, come on in. If you're sick, Jesus wants to heal that. And meet the one who wants to heal you. Preaching the gospel. But I was talking about emotional healing. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So if you've ever gone through a moment, it's a bruised heart. Your emotions have got bruised. You've been hurt. Somebody has gossiped, he's slandered you, they betrayed you. What I'm telling you is in this moment, just as much as a broken bone can be healed, a broken heart can be healed. Amen. So what did Jesus pay for? If you're still walking around going, I'm not sick out here, but my heart sure does feel sick. What I'm telling you is access by inheritance what Jesus paid for. He didn't mean you to be brokenhearted. You say, well, it says, blessed are those who are broken in spirit. Now, that's you saying, I don't know everything, and I before him, I humble myself before him. That doesn't mean I'm the walking wounded. It's not the sign of spirituality to continue to be wounded. That's a sign of immaturity. If we continue to walk wounded, it's a sign of immaturity or that we have not yet experienced the fullness of the healing of the broken heart. So it's time to lay our offenses to the side, fully receive the healing that Jesus has for us. What's the opposite of broken? Whole. So we can live what? Wholehearted. The opposite of a broken heart is a whole heart. So these two phrases, to heal the broken heart and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppressed means bruised, to be bruised, crushed, or shattered, which means the ministry we're bringing to somebody may be this. Maybe it's they've been dealing with cancer, and they need healing from a physical ailment, and they need healing from a broken heart, because it's when you get that news, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? This God forgot about me. It wounds the heart. We get to bring wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Here's what you need to know about the gospel. All of us are created as triune beings, which means we're three in one. There's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's three in one. We are spirit, soul, and body. Your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Obviously, your physical body. It's your spirit that is born again. What does the gospel bring? It brings you spiritual being born again, being made whole. It brings wholeness to the brokenness of your soul, your heart, your mind and your will and your emotions becoming whole. And it extends all the way down to the physical body. Why do you need to go to baseline? So you can experience the healing of a broken body, a broken heart, a broken spirit. So Jesus still does this today. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and maybe later. Why do we think like that? Sometimes we make it like this, well, Jesus is the same yesterday. He doesn't do that today. And then once again, he'll do it again. Churches that teach that he doesn't heal today believe that. I'm not mad at people. I'm just coming against a philosophy and a deception. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. I don't get to change Jesus for my convenience or to match up my experiences. I'm bringing my experiences. I continue to worship him until my experiences match up with him. And here's what that may mean. I believe that Jesus heals everything. But what if I don't get my physical healing on earth, but I continue to worship him, I continue to love him, one day I get my physical healing. If it doesn't happen now, it happens later, and I win. You win. But press in for the now. Jesus is our model. Build your faith on his example and his words. His words are our standard of faith, not our level of experience. Jesus is always inviting us into a new level of experience in his love, peace, joy, power, provision, forgiveness, and more. John 14:12. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. To obey Jesus means to do the same works and greater works. I'm just telling you, here's the standard of Scripture. This isn't performance. This shouldn't feel like a weighty thing for you. But what I'm telling you is this. This is the standard. Obeying Jesus means doing the same things he did and even greater things. What was the same things? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He had a right relationship with everyone he knew. He always extended grace. He never gossiped. He never slandered. He was always there. He's like, well, he did call the Pharisees a bunch of snakes. I need some water. Brood of vipers. You can tell often I use that word. So as he is, so are we in this world. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 through 8. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you've received. It's hard to give away what you haven't received. I'll just say this, you want to know why there's so much brokenness in the world? Because we give it away very freely. Because we have not yet received the healing and the wholeness that God has for us. This is the words of Jesus. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. What's the fruit of that? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give as freely as you've received. Luke chapter 10, 1 through 9. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples, sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember what I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. He answers his own prayer. Go talk to the Lord of the harvest. Okay, I'm sending you. Like Jesus talked to his father. The father's like, send them. They're the answer to your prayer. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Wherever you enter someone's house, first say, may God's peace be on this house. If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter in a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Verse 17, and when the 72 returned, they were joyful and reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. John 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So healing is a free gift, just like salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So just like salvation, what comes with salvation? Healing. Well, can somebody be healed without being saved? Yes, but it's a tool to bring them into salvation. Well, what if they don't accept Jesus? Do I take their healing away? That's not for you to do. It was never yours in the first place. Amen. I literally was with saw this one time at a street evangelist. Obviously not somebody we run with. But they shared the gospel, prayed for somebody to be healed of something. They were excited. He says, hey, now do you want to receive Jesus? No, I really don't, but I'm glad I'm healed. And he goes, well, I remove your healing. And the person just looked at them and goes, what? This is on a video. And just kind of looked at them and walked off pretty whole. And the person, but here's the point. It's not ours to mess with. We give away what we receive. What is we receive? Grace. Amen. I think in a couple of weeks I'm going to talk to you about the role of faith. Because I want to bring some kids in here so we can pray for the sick. So let's deal with two tough questions real quick. Why doesn't everyone I pray for get well? Who's at fault? You want the simple answer? I don't know. You want to be honest? I don't know why when we pray for somebody and they don't get well. It would actually be arrogant for me to say, I know why you didn't get well. Unless the Holy Spirit is revealing it, it's arrogant for us to do this. So it's okay for us to say, I pray for the sick and they didn't get well. I was praying for one of my spiritual sons this morning. I love you, dude. He's watching on home right now. And he's just dealing with some pain. And he didn't get well. And guess what? I don't go, well, Jesus, I need to throw my message out. I prayed for a sick person this morning and he didn't get well. I guess I might as well tear this thing up. It didn't work. No, what do? You persevere. I don't know. It's an acceptable answer. But what I do know is he's good. I do know he does heal the sick. I do know that he's faithful to complete what he began. Amen. I do know that. So what do? I'm not responsible for what I don't know. I'm responsible for who I do know. So you've got to deal with disappointment. You have to be willing to deal with disappointment. Deuteronomy 29:29, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he's revealed to us so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. So when I don't know, I don't make up an excuse. I don't make up a reason. I don't use blame. Well, you've got too much sin in your life. I've got too much sin in my life. You don't have enough faith. I don't have enough faith. God must not like you. The devil must be big. We come up with some really stupid answers. And we wrap them in Christianese so it makes us sound like we know what we're talking about. And we have no clue what we're talking about. I'm not responsible for what I don't know. I am responsible for what has been revealed to me. What's been revealed to you? Jesus is victory. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus saves. That's what's been revealed to me, and that's what we're responsible for. And until I see a breakthrough, then I'm going to continue to pray for somebody. Sometimes we forgot how to persevere in prayer. We forgot how to stay there with somebody. And certainly what we teach of our prayer model for our altar ministry is be direct, be brief. It's not how many words you use, just release with authority. But that doesn't mean, though, that I can't stay there and keep saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay, test it out. Okay, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay, test it out. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay, test it out. Okay, in the name of Jesus. What? We're persevering in prayer. Jesus, I know you're good. I know you're a healer. I know you paid for this. This is not your plan. I know it's not your plan. The devil's a schmuck. Let's bring your victory right now, Jesus. Continue to press into him. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does God want people to be sick, or does he cause sicknesses? If I had a penny for every time I've heard that in church circles, I'd have way too much money. I'm serious. I've heard that. Well, God gave me cancer to teach me. And God gave me cancer. No. We accuse God of certain things that if a human father did it, they'd be in prison for child abuse. So I'm just going to say, how dare us accuse him of being less than who he is? So let's return back. Somebody says, well, God just gave me cancer. No, he works all things out for good. Amen. What the devil meant for evil, he wants to use this right now. Let's bring this back around to a good, good father. Good. If I don't think God's good, if I think he's angry with me, then I'm never going to be born again. Can you all be real? If you had the choice to be adopted into a family, but you see at the head of the family somebody who's angry, who abuses their children, exposes them to bad stuff just for their enjoyment, would you want to be a part of that family? No. So why would we ever represent our father that way? Amen. I'm just saying, he's a good dad. Amen. He's an amazing father. Amen. Do you believe he wants to heal you today? We need to step into what that looks like. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to do is we're going to bring the kids in. Those kiddos have been learning about Dr. Holy Spirit today. Why don't you stand up with me? So here's what I want to do first. We're going to go after a broken heart, and then we're going to bring the kids in, okay? Close your eyes, bow your heads. I want you to examine your heart. Do you have any disappointment with God because he failed to do something for you? And that's not a shame statement. It's just being honest. It's time to deal with a broken heart. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's called me, he sent me to heal the broken heart. Right now, I just release over you everything that Jesus paid for to heal a broken heart, to heal disappointment, to heal trauma, to release you from fear. That was never God's intention and plan for you to be there. And I break the lie now in the name of Jesus that God sent you a disease or an illness to teach you a lesson. I break the lie right now that says because you sinned and maybe you lived a lifestyle, that forever anchors you to the consequences of that lifestyle. If you've asked Jesus for forgiveness from it, that means the consequences of sin have been paid for, and it's time to let go of disappointment in God, and it's time to let go of disappointment in yourself. It's time to let go of disappointment in others, people that disappointed you. We just say, Holy Spirit, come and have your way completely, fully, right now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.